Well, good morning, everyone, and welcome to the fourth week of Live the Dream. Now, for those of you that are joining us for the first time this morning, you're probably wondering, what is the dream all about? The dream is the core values of this congregation. And we're going back and kind of reviewing them so we can all understand what our values are here at Oak Creek Assembly of God. I remind you once again, this was all born out of one day on an elevator. When someone asked me the question, just exactly what do you believe? And I was a young attorney, and by the time we got to the fifth floor, the door opened up and he stepped out, and I was still talking. And he said, let me give you a bit of advice. He said, if you can't tell me in five floors what you believe, then you don't know what you believe. And so I came back and I said to our staff, I said, you know, we've got to get this thing down into such a way that everyone in five floors on an elevator can explain what our values are here at Oak Creek Assembly of God. And so the dream is really an acronym, each one of the letters standing for a very important value that we have here at Oak Creek Assembly of God. First of all, we have the D, and the D is a dynamic lifestyle of worship. That is the very reason why we started out our service today with worship. We've been glorifying God. That is why the choir just led us into a time of worship and glorifying God. We believe in a dynamic lifestyle of worship. And the word dynamic means, by definition, it means to be always changing, always growing. And I pray that each and every one of us are growing in our relationship with God. And as we grow in our relationship with God, so does our worship. A dynamic lifestyle of worship. Let's say it together. The D is a dynamic lifestyle of worship. The R is relationships devoted to what? Say it. To unity. We believe that God's word tells us we have a responsibility one towards another in the body of Christ. And so the R represents our relationships, and our relationships are devoted to unity. We come from different economic backgrounds, different religious backgrounds. We come from various parts of the city. We come with all kinds of differences. But when we gather together in the house of God, our relationships are devoted to unity. And we believe that God's plan for unity is found in Psalm 133 and verse 1, where it says, "How good and pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity." And the E, we talked about the E, and that is empowered through biblical training. We believe that God's word tells us we have a command in Scripture, and that command is that we would study God's word, get to know it, so that we as workmen needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And we believe that there's an empowerment that happens. I believe that you need to know what you believe and to know why you believe it. You need to know God's word. This generation is a challenging generation. It's a generation that's not going to just accept things because you say so. They need to know why you believe what you believe. And we believe in being empowered by biblical training. And when you know the word, and when those opportunities come, you can stand. You know, a man with an experience is never at the mercy of a man with an argument. And especially true when it's based on God's word. So the E is to be empowered through biblical training. And when you're challenged, you come right back with the word. When the enemy comes against you, you respond with the word. You get to know the word. You're empowered by the word of Almighty God. And then we have the A. And last and not least, the M. Now we're going to talk about the A this morning. And the A is active ministry involvement. And I believe that God has something for each and every one of us in today's message as we talk about being active in ministry, because I believe that God has given to each and every one of us a gift, and he's not only given us a gift, he has given us a talent. 1 Peter chapter 4, in your Bibles for just a few moments. 1 Peter 4, starting with verse 8, reading through verse 11. It says, "Above all, keep fervent in your love for one another, because love covers a multitude of sins." Now, here's what the Bible is saying about love covering a multitude of sins. If you are in a loveless relationship, that relationship becomes very nitpicking. Every little error, every little thing you do, everything that sets off, you know, that other individual, it's because there's a lack of love. And so the Bible says love covers a multitude of sins. Love is not looking for the wrong, it's looking for the right. It's not looking to tear down, but it's always looking to build up. And so the Bible says then, because love covers a multitude of sins. That's our relationship. Our relationship ought to be built on love. And in verse 9, it says, be hospitable to one another without complaint. So we are to minister to one another, help each other, be hospitable to one another, and to do so without complaining. As each one of you has received a special gift, notice that, employ it in serving one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. Now the Bible says, whoever speaks, it is to do so as one who is speaking the utterances of God. Whoever serves, whoever serves is to do so as one who is serving by the strength which God supplies, so that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belongs the glory and the dominion forever and ever. Amen. Now look at verse 10. This is from the Living Bible. God has given each of you some special abilities. Be sure to use them to help each other, passing on to others God's many kinds of blessings. You know, as a congregation, as I look out upon you this morning, you're an amazing group of people. Your talents, your gifts, your skills are nothing short of absolutely being amazing and incredible. You know, after every musical that we perform here, whether it's at Easter or 4th of July, Christmas time, or other times of the year, people always come to me by the door and they will ask me this question: where did you get all of those talented people? And they will often say they can't all be from this one church, or who keeps your grounds? They're done so professionally. Or who did you contract to do your interior decorating and design? Or where do you get your musicians? Where do you hire them? Who operates the nurseries, the children's churches, and the classrooms? Or who organizes the security teams? Or who manages your bookstore? Who's cooking in the kitchen? Or who's directing and operating the television equipment? These are but a few questions that I'm asked literally every single week. And my answer is always one and the same. People from our congregation who love God and want to use their gifts and talents to bless others. That is how this entire church operates. You see, friends, I believe that everyone possesses a God-given talent and gift. Look at verse 10 once again of 1 Peter 4. It says, as each one has received a special gift, employ it in serving one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. You see, I believe that every single living person on this planet this morning possesses a God-given talent. Furthermore, I believe that every born-again Christian possesses not only a God-given talent, but I also believe they possess a God-given spiritual gift. The Bible says that no one has been left out. Our natural talents are received at birth. Our spiritual gifts are received only after we're born again and become followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now let's think about natural talents for just a moment. You see, the purpose of our natural talents is to bring glory to God. God has given us talents, and these talents, when they're used appropriately, when they're used properly, they always point to God. People look at us and they say, I know them, and this is greater than what they could do without some outside help. And we know who that outside help is. Our outside helper is God. And God is the one that has given us the natural talents in life, and He's given these talents so that others may see that work of God in us and give glory to God. So God has gifted each of us. He's given us one or more natural talents. Now, some of these natural talents, let's think about them for a moment. Some are gifted in music. And it's a natural talent. You can tell from the very get-go, from the very beginning, there's something about them. They're wired, hardwired by God, and they have musical ability that is hardwired within them. Others, it may be carpentry. Still others, it may be sports. For some, it's math or science. It just seems to come easy. No matter what the class is, there is a talent and a gift that God has given to comprehend and to do well within that particular discipline. For some, it may be writing. You have the ability to write and to take what's in your mind, what's in your heart, and put it on paper. It's a God-given gift. Or to speak in public, or planning big events, or planning home events, family events. There's always somebody in every family that rises up, and they're the one that's kind of the planner for the family. How many know what I'm talking about? And as you get together, you just know. It kind of rests on them because they have this natural ability, this natural talent for planning and putting things together. And for others, it may be leadership. We often talk about they're a natural born leader. What we're saying is from a small child on, it was very evident that there was leadership skill inside of them. Natural talents become rather obvious very early in life. A child with the natural talent to play a sport, oftentimes it becomes very obvious as they're very small. There's a grace and there's a dexterity when handling sporting equipment. You put a bat in their hand and they know exactly what to do. You put it in another's and they begin to beat the ground with it. You put it into the hand of one that's got that unique wiring, that unique talent. God has given it. He hardwired them with that ability and with that skill set, and it just begins to become natural for them. You toss them a ball and they don't flinch. They reach right out and they catch. All of these things you begin to see very, very, very early on in a child's life. And often a person with a natural talent in sports will often do well in many different areas of sports. It will make no difference what the ball is, whether it's a small golf ball, whether it's a basketball, a football, a volleyball. It seems like it makes no difference. They're just wired by God, gifted by God, and they have that skill, and it becomes very obvious to everyone. There's a grace about the way they handle themselves on the court or on the field. A child on the other side with a natural talent for music will often, as you watch that child begin to grow, they will match pitch rather easily. If you sing happy birthday, they're the ones that's on pitch, and they catch a pitch, and they catch it real easily. Or they might have rhythm and beat. It just seems like it's in their blood. Rather than beating on a piano, you'll find that particular child attempting simple melodies. They're trying to sound something out. And it's all God-given. The same is true with mechanical dexterity. You place a tool in the hand of a small young person, and you know, it just seems like they know exactly what to do with it. And as they grow throughout life, you can just see the dexterity, you see their ability, you see their mechanical mind at work. And as you watch them, you see them at work in so many different realms. You just look at them and say, you know, it's been a natural talent, a natural ability. They were born with it. What about savvy in business? You know, you watch even a small child, and that small child and doing business with their brothers and sisters, bartering with them with candy, and it isn't long, and you see their lives just revolving around. Their minds are working in a certain way. God has given to them and gave them that particular talent. The person then with a natural talent, with this natural God-given talent, will generally excel well beyond the person without the gift if they are diligent and if they are working on that which God gave them. You see, your natural talent is a God-given gift. You are born with it. However, it's up to you to develop that wonderful talent and gift that God has given to you. And these natural talents serve us well in life. Matter of fact, as you begin to look over your life and look over your background and over your family's background and over your uncles, aunts, grandparents, and those that are in your family, oftentimes you will see that that early natural talent became the very basis of their vocation in life. As a little guy, they were building with blocks. And then as they got a little older, they were building with little bigger blocks. And now today they're building some of our skyscrapers with big blocks. It's all hardwired by God. It's a gift from God. And friends, our natural talents, the Bible tells us, is to be used to bless others and to bring glory to God. That they would look, whether you're a football player, whether you're a baseball player, whether you are someone that's building, you know, buildings and skyscrapers, or whether you're a musician, or whether you're a wonderful cook in the kitchen, whatever that natural talent is in your life, it should all bring glory to God. And every time we receive the applause of men, we say it's all because of God. Amen? We turn our talents back to the one that gave them to us. So that is natural talent. But the Bible also talks about spiritual gifts. Look at verse 10 one more time of 1 Peter 4. It says, as each one, so notice now, no one's left out, as each one has received a special gift, employ it in serving one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. Now let's take for just a moment and unpack that phrase by phrase. Let's start with that first phrase, as each one. As each one tells us that every Christian has been included. No one has been excluded. I want you to understand this morning that you have been given by God a gift and you have been given a talent. God gave this to you. It's already, and we'll see here, as each one, no one's left out, has received. Notice the words there, has received. It is past tense. You are already in possession of that gift from God. Some of you look in the mirror and you often, you know, denigrate yourself. You denigrate your abilities and your skills and you wonder, does God have any real plan for your life? And things have not been going as you would hope that they would have gone. But I want you to understand, you are in possession today of a gift from God. He has given you a natural gift, a natural skill, but He's also invested in you a spiritual gift. It is in you right now. And that gift inside of you wants to reach out and wants to come out and wants to bless and wants to give glory to God. And so the Bible says, as each one, that includes everybody, has received, past tense, you're already in possession of it, a special gift. Now that word special gift there in the scriptures refers to charisma, is the word that is used in the Greek. It means a gift of grace, a God-given ability for service. It has already been given to you. It is in you, you possess it this morning. And the gift is to be considered the common property of the entire Christian community. What God has given to you is not merely for you. It is for the greater good of all. And so whatever gift any one of us has, whatever gift I have is for you. Whatever gift you have is for me. It is for the one across the aisle, the one that's in the balcony, those that are watching online. These gifts of God were meant not only to be a blessing to you and in your life, and many times will become your vocational track for life. More than all of that, it was meant to be used for the good of the entire. Let's look at Romans chapter 12, and it'll point that out. In Romans chapter 12, starting with verse 4, it says, just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function. We all know that the ear and the eye and the mouth and the hands, the feet, all of these have different functions, yet they all comprise one body. So in Christ, we, though many, form one body, and each member belongs all to the others. So the Bible is telling us we are not an island unto ourselves. We have gifts from God that are not meant for us alone. These gifts were meant to be used in such a way that the entire body is benefited from them. Just like the ear, the eye, the mouth, all of these benefit the entire body. We have different gifts, just like there are different parts of the human body. We have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. So we have been graced, that is charisma. We have received a gift from God, and this spiritual gift, if your gift is prophesying, then prophesy. Now I want you to notice here, it spells out the gift, and then right after saying what the gift is and identifying it, it says, put it into action. Watch that as we read this now. If your gift is prophesying, then what? Prophesy in accordance with your faith. If it is serving, then? If you've got teaching, then? If it is to encourage, then give encouragement. If it is giving, then give generously. If it is to lead, do it diligently. If it is to show mercy, do it cheerfully. Notice there is no place whereby a gift remains idled or remains silent. The gifts of God were meant to be a blessing, not only in your life, but to all, because the Bible says the gift was given to you to benefit all, just like the eye benefits so that we might see and know where we're at, and the ear to hear the conversations and to hear what is going on round about us, and our feet to get us where we want to go. I think we've all, at one time or another, we've seen someone that's lost either a thumb or, you know, some part of the body. And I was watching an individual the other day. He's been able to compensate for the loss of his thumb, but he had lost his thumb. And I watched as he tried to pick stuff up. You know, without that opposing thumb, which makes us unique in many ways, and to watch him try to compensate for that, to try to pick something up without having a thumb. And he was doing marvelously, and I was so thrilled to watch how he had compensated. There was a man that I grew up with back in South Dakota, and he had been in the Korean War. While in the Korean War, he stepped on a landmine, and he lost most of his toes. And he had special shoes that were made for him. Moses Driver was his name. He was a Native American. He had been fighting in the war. And the unique thing about the shoes that he had, these shoes had special wires, or not wires, springs that would attach just below the knee and go down to the toes. And because your toes, while you're standing, are constantly adjusting to keep us upright, keep us from tipping over and falling over. Otherwise, it would be like walking on stubs. And so he had lost his toes on both feet, and he had these springs. They were attached to these special made shoes. And you'd be talking to Moses Driver, and all of a sudden you start going, like he's gonna tip over, and all of a sudden the springs would catch, and you go back here. And then you come back the other direction. And Moses, he told me one day, he said, you know, without your toes, you'd fall on your face, and these shoes were made in a special way, and these attachments to the leg. Your toes are important. The big toe is important. Your thumb is important. Now this morning as we got up, we probably all went to the mirror and checked out to make sure that we're ready to go out and meet the public. But most of us probably didn't give a whole lot of thought to our liver. We probably didn't give a lot of thought this morning as we got dressed and got ready to go out to our belly button. I checked. I got all the fuzz out this morning. All right. We don't think of some of these components of our body because they're both either hidden or unseen. Or what about the heart? Now, the heart is unseen, the liver is unseen, and most of these internal organs. And many times while we're washing our face and getting ourselves ready for the day, we have failed to remember if the heart stops, it makes no difference how well you've shaved or combed your hair. It's absolutely vital. It's a part of you. And the Bible says there's absolutely no part of the body, and there's no gift that God has placed within the body that is expendable. And that which he has given to you is for the good of all. And the teaching there of Scripture is it is meant for the entire community. What God has given to you is for everyone and for everyone's benefit. So the Bible says then if it's serving, then serve. If it's teaching, then teach. Don't be silent, Do not neglect your gift. Do not just sit on it. If it is to encourage, then give encouragement. If it's to give, then to give generously. If it's to lead, do it diligently. Notice the Bible says it's our role. Look at verse 10 one more time. It says, as each one has received a special gift, what is the next two words? Employ it. Say with me, employ it. In serving one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. Friends, we are to use our natural talents and our spiritual gifts, the Bible says, to serve one another. That our gifts are not to be idle, we are to employ them. And so the Bible says, whatever gift we have received, we are under spiritual obligation to use that gift for the good of all. The Bible calls us stewards of God's talents and of God's gifts. Now, a steward was a household manager. A household manager back in Bible times did not own the house, did not own the things within the house. We would say today that it's a manager of a corporation. It is the CFO, it's the CEO, it's a large corporation. They do not own it, but remind them on a daily basis in some way or another, you are here for the good of the entire corporation is what we're told. And so it is within this setting. A steward does not own the gift. A steward does not own, but is a manager of that which belongs to another. So these gifts that have been given to us, whether they are spiritual gifts, whether they are natural abilities, they still belong to God. Whatever your ability is today, whatever people say and pat you on the back and say, wow, you know, you're a great businessman. I mean, you've got a great mind. You've got great musical ability. You've got great skills. You understand mechanical things. You are a marvelous cook. You're a great teacher. And in all of this, we understand God gave it to us so that he might receive glory. And that we can minister one to another. Now in Matthew chapter 25, there's a story. There's a story of the owner of all things gives to one of his managers, he gives 5 talents, to another 2, and yet to another 1. Now, I believe that you remember that story. In this story, when we talk about talents, we're not talking about natural talents here in the literal sense. According to Scripture here, it'd be a sum of money. A talent was a sum of money. Some would say it was gold. Others might say it was silver, but it was a sum of money. So let's just take and put this into the context of, let's say that it was $5, $2, $1. And so the first manager receives $5. And he goes out and he takes that $5 and he works that $5 and he makes it work for his master. And when his master returns, he has not only $5, he has how much to give him? Do you remember the story? He has 5 more to give. And so he had doubled what he had been given. The one with the 2 talents, the master said, come, give an account for what I've given unto you. And so he comes, and when he comes, he is double it. Now he has 4. He was given 2, he's double it, he has 4. The one with the 1 talent, remember what he did. He went out in the backyard, he dug a hole, and he said, I know my master's a hard man, and I know he's going to expect me not to lose this. And so he buried it in the ground. And when his master came and said, what have you done with my talent? And he said, here it is. It's all safe. I kept it right here for you. And he said, you're a wicked servant. Matter of fact, as you read the rest of that account, he had him thrown out, whether it was gnashing of teeth and wailing, because he had misused the gift that God had given to him. We're all responsible one day for the gift that God has given to us, whatever that skill or whatever that gift is. Now, some of you in this room, maybe all you've ever seen is that gift was for your well-being, for your financial furtherance, for your good and for yours alone. If that is the way you view it, you're viewing it wrong. If whatever you have been receiving from God, whatever that gift is to be used to benefit the kingdom of God and to benefit all. And so we are one part of another. We together make up what the Bible says is the body of Christ. And as the body of Christ, we all have a part and a vital part. And one day, all of us are going to have to give an account to God for what we have done with that gift. Now, let me encourage you, each of us, for our own good, need to use our gifts and our talents. And I believe that we are living in one of the most exciting times of all of church history. I can remember a time, and I'm sure that many of you in this room can, that if you couldn't preach, you couldn't teach, you couldn't play the piano or sing, there was really no place of ministry for you. Now, I'm so grateful that we're part of a church whereby there's a ministry for everyone. We've got a place for the butcher, the baker, the candlestick maker, for the gifted in technology and television. What is happening in this room right now is literally being seen in nations all over the world. It's because someone right now is at camera number two, camera number three, camera number four, camera number one. There's someone back in the control room that's shading. Another's there controlling. Another one's online right now with people and interacting with them as they're watching the live stream all over the nation around the world. I'm so glad there's a place for people that are techno geeks. If you're someone that's in the arts and in drama, there's now a place for you. In the past, there was not. Teaching and mentoring, set design and construction, prayer and evangelism, children and youth and singles and adult ministries, buildings and grounds, security and maintenance and ushering and greeters, printing and graphic design and layout, follow-up and visitation. I'm so glad that there's a place for everyone. And I believe that God is beginning to give us opportunities that are so big, it's going to take everyone. This past week, I believe over 4,000 officers from all over the nation were in this sanctuary. The pictures of them out on the parking lots, the honor guards that came from New York, from Michigan, the greater Chicago area, and from all over. And I watched all of you just using your gifts. You know, sometimes we feel like, you know, if you're not up here and if you're not in the light, that, you know, that ministry is not vital. Oh, friends, let me tell you. I watched as people just shook hands. I watched at the information center one of our ladies come, and, you know, some of these officers, when they passed by and they saw the body of their own fallen, came out weeping, and she had come out from behind the information desk and just give them a hug. And so often they would say, just thank you for that hug. Some of you are great in the kitchen. And I watched once again. I mean, they were handing out food and water and, you know, just being a blessing. Friend, do not underestimate the value of the gift that God has given to you. We can begin to compare gifts, and as we compare them, we can diminish the value, if we're not careful, of the gift that God has given to us. God has given you a gift. It's already there. He has given you a spiritual gift, and He's also given you a talent. And if you're not sure what that talent is, we as a pastoral staff, we are dedicated to this year of helping you discover what that gift is. And we are here to help you grow in that gift, to help you find a place, because I believe that God has something so big in store that the pastoral staff will never, ever, ever be able to accomplish it. And I hope that is true, and I pray that is true. Because if it can be done by us, it's way too small. Because that is not the way God designed the church. He designed the church that all of us, we have different roles, different responsibilities. I watched again, and forgive one more reference back to the funeral on Wednesday. But I watched, you know, these officers, when they got an assignment, and we have officers in the room right now, when they received an order from their superior, whatever it may be, I watched them guarding things that I thought, all right. Honestly, I just thought, wasting your time over there. Door number 7's been safe for a long, long time. We don't need 2 guns on it. But whatever they were assigned, they stood right there. Nothing would turn aside. There was no one that could come along other than the officer, that superior that gave him the assignment. I watched him stand outside, shoulder to shoulder, in the freezing cold, because they understood what it meant to be a person of authority under authority. And that is exactly what God has called His church to be. We're people of authority, but we're under God's authority. And when God gives us an assignment, whether we understand it or not, whether it makes any sense in the natural or not, when God gives an assignment, we're steadfast. We do what we've been assigned to. I'm excited for what God's got in store for you, because I believe that if you take the A of the dream, this act of ministry involvement, and begin to put it into action in your life, it's going to revolutionize your walk with God. And it's what our world needs the most today. They want to see a body of believers that have a dynamic lifestyle of worship, who are living in relationship of unity with one another, that are empowered by God's word, with active ministry involvement, with a mission, and that mission is to reach the world for Jesus Christ. And I'm so glad you're a part of it. And I'm so glad you've got a gift. Hallelujah. I want you to stand with me today all over this room. Father, first of all, I want to say thank you, Lord, for the gifts. And I want to thank you, Lord, for the natural skills and abilities you've given in this room. Lord, they're all over the map. Incredible business people. Wonderful teachers. Physicians. Nurses. Attorneys, people that are in every realm of life that can take a mechanical piece of machinery and look at it and, wow, they just understand it all. And others, it's electronics. They understand a computer. They understand the language of the computer. They understand this is all your gifting. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, you trusted us. You've given skills and abilities. You tell us whatever we've received, we're to put it into action. So, Lord, today I just believe there are men and women in all this room that are just saying, I want to put it into action. I don't know what it all means, but I want to put it into action. And I pray, Lord, in these next few moments, Lord, from all over this room, people respond, just simply say, Lord, here I am. I'm reporting to duty. And I know you've given me gifts and skills, and I'm going to use them from this day on in a new way, because I understand, I get it. You expect me to use the gifts and the talents for your glory. Now here's what I'm going to do. I want to pray for you all. And every person that is coming to the altar today, just simply as you come to the altar, you're just saying this. This is all you're saying. I want to be used of God. I don't know how my gift, my skill, maybe your skill is stacking BBs. I don't know. Whatever it is, God's got a plan for it. And he's going to use you. And I want to pray for you. You come so I can pray with you and for you. And we're going to close this service then right after that prayer. You come as the worship team begins to sing.